Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here this morning. Bless our time. We ask in Jesus' name. All right, folks, you may be seated. All right, we're going to turn our Bibles to Revelation 22. Everybody kind of have any idea where we've been the last week? Some of you weren't here. The beautiful thing about pastoring is no matter what you teach, no matter how you teach, if I can get a third of the people to hear the stuff, it's pretty much a miracle. We started talking about worldviews. Is that about right?
Yep.
And we talked about, I think, things called questions. So, I'm going to draw a basic worldview diagram, which is terribly wrong, but it's what most people use. And I'm going to do this for one person in this room who will actually teach this material. By the way, can I say something to you? You know when you start learning? When you start teaching. And remember, teaching doesn't have to be formal. So here's one of the problems we have with church. If you're never going to do anything with what you learn, it kind of becomes the big zero. And you say, who are you sharing this with? Because I already know he will teach this. You say, why? Because people need to hear it. So what I'm going to do something that is so blatantly simple that some of you are going like, well, duh. We have a thing called the problem of evil. You ever heard of it?
Right.
I would tell you that 95% of people that deny Christianity. Do you ever watch this kind of stuff on YouTube? Christopher Hutchins, oh, Dawkins, there's all of, do you all know the God haters out there? Do you know all of them say the same things over and over? And Christians appear to me to be clueless. Because if we are, we're so sophisticated that I saw, I think it was Dawkins making fun of Craig Evans, which probably you don't know who that is, an apologist, because Evans tries to be logical. Friends, the Christian story is a story. Are you aware of that? Let's stand. Let's read together a passage. Two passages. Revelation 22, please. In verse 3. Everybody find it? And there shall be no more what?
Curse.
All right, let's see how your logic is. If there is no more curse, what does that imply?
There's a curse right now.
Wow. So here you have people, no joke. What is Hitchens is dead, of course. He wrote a God-hating book. I think the title was God Is Not Great. He goes, you know, he's dead, but his stuff is still out there. His basic premise is he says the number one cause of problems in the world is religion. And he just talks about the problem of evil like Christians are like, duh. And can I say this? After a conversation this man and I had with another person, which I have mentioned, you don't know the other person, he does, about the other person's father who grew up in a Baptist church. It was in his 70s when his wife died. And when his wife died, he departed from the faith. Why did God allow this to happen to my wife? Do we not have any Christianity in our churches? And I think the answer sometimes is we don't get that which is obvious. So verse 3, and there shall be, say it with me,
no more curse.
The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. and they shall see his face. And his name shall be in their foreheads. By the way, that also implies that you don't see his face. And you're not having a vision of a 900-foot Jesus or any charismatic foolishness. By the way, that is yet future. Now let's turn back to chapter 21. Verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God, and by the way, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, but it also requires logic. Look at me, everybody. The ability to think. And there shall be no more
tears.
Which implies. Hello? What does that imply?
There are tears now.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't even have to say this. And yet people think it's all about happy, happy Jesus. And it's like, this is the promise we have in Christ. Because it deals with the problem of evil. No, I'm not going to deal with the problem of evil today. I just want you to know that until that day, there will be tears. And this is not a guilt-driven sermon by John R. Rice about tears in heaven. I hate guilt and Arminianism because of what it does to people's thinking. By the way, if you ever go back to that stuff, you will start seeing how unbiblical it is. This is simply stating a fact about creation. There are tears. All right, we're going to talk about the seven questions. You're not going to finish the two pages of notes. We probably will get to the first point. But we're going to talk about big ideas. I want you to get the big ideas. So when you actually have no more of this rabid fear that Christians have, that somebody's going to ask them a question they can't answer. Well, what do you think about people dying? Well, we just talked about it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. All right, I'm going to scoot this thing over. None of this is in your notes, by the way. Exactly zero of this. We talked about last week, this was the first week, on you're going to have questions, and they're going to be the same questions, and they're going to be questions like, first of all, origins. You know, that's one of the questions, because we're going to ask, where do we come from? Sooner or later, you're going to have a question of this. Destiny. Where are we going? And by the way, that happens pretty early. Again, as I said last week, why does it happen early?
Because it's just, you begin to ask a why.
Yes, question.
Yes, but why do you ask this question?
Yeah. Well, you see what's happening.
People die.
Right.
Including people you love. So you have to ask, where are we going? These are the questions that everybody asks. Well, there are three other questions that are, I'm just going to write here. There's questions of morality. How should we live? There's questions of meaning. Where do we find meaning, purpose, significance? And then I add on to this questions of identity. You say, why identity? Because today that's a big one. In the past, these two would have taken care of that. But today we'll talk about identity because it's people don't know who they are anymore. All right, then there's two other questions. And you can put them in different ways. Evil, sin, which is the question of what in the world went wrong? Look at me, folks. Every worldview has to deal with this. If the book is good, I will recommend a book on world religions in the next couple weeks. But I have to finish it. I don't recommend stuff before I finish it. Something that you can read, actually. I'm reading about not Islam. I read through Hinduism. Here's my response to him. Forgive me, I just lied to you. Hinduisms. Here's my response. But guess what they have to do? Answer the same questions. They answer Buddhism. They answer these questions very differently. See, they think your problem is all of the problems you have are an illusion because you're not, well, certain Buddhists, you're not as still attached to God. For all of you geezers, not Pam because she's still young, when John Lennon was assassinated, his son said something to this effect. And of course, Christians, he said, now my dad has returned to God. That's straight out of Hinduism and or Buddhism. The you is no longer. You're now part of God. By the way, everybody has to answer the same questions. The other question is, well, how in the world do you, you know, whether it's salvation, that's the term we use, or liberation. You know, in the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 17, do you, by the way, those are the seven questions I don't care who you are, where you're from, you have to deal with. Then you say, Pastor, I know people who don't deal with them. They just drink themselves to death. Actually, they have dealt with it. That's exactly how they deal with it. Are they drug themselves to death? Are they entertain themselves to death? Are they play to death? But you got to deal with the questions because they're in front of you. Now, what about the problem of evil? This is just for you, Dada, because you will use it before anybody else. Can I give you, by the way, you all know the Christian broad worldview. Creation, fall, cross, the consummation. Four C's. Creation, the curse, the cross, the consummation. There's a whole bunch more to it. How does it deal with evil? Are you ready? Boy, this is deep. Wow, that's deep. And you know what's funny? To hear a person that's been in a Baptist, a Billy Baptist, by the way, I'm being specific, Billy Baptist, Arminian Church, which is all about victory, victory, victory. But the problem is he doesn't even know the Bible. Why did his wife die? Because we're still under the curse. Yes or no? Should we expect evil? Well, if you don't, you're living in a different world. You're living in a fantasy. Now, I'm not saying you should expect. There's things that happen that break my heart, and there's things that I have no answer to. You understand that? By the way, I'm assuming some of you know that and remember him. Dwayne Kerr died a couple days ago. That's tragic. That's a loss. All of that. But he is 90. And since we understand that we still live under the curse with evil, we're not like, whoa, what happened? Friend, Christianity, the very essential message is all about the problem of evil. It says God didn't make evil. Yes. Mm-hmm. Evil came from when we sinned. Christ deals with evil. And one day when he returns, there will be no more evil. And here you heard Christopher Hutchins saying, you Christians are so stupid. And I'm like, have you ever read the Bible? The whole Bible talks about this. And yes, it says 1,000 times more about the problem of evil. This is not a Sunday school about the problem of evil. Yes, you can quote Romans 8:28, but Romans 8:28 means nothing unless it's attached to a worldview where we're moving forward, where all these things finally end up as good. Because the Bible nowhere says, sorry, please don't hate me. God is good all the time, which in our mind means all of my life is good all the time. No. God is working things together for good that will end up in good. That's what we're looking for. Yes or no? Yes. Do you understand the worldview of Christianity? That's it. Seven questions. That's where we begin. Okay? Anybody have questions? Thoughts? Comments? Mike?
It says God is working together for good. The only problem is we get in the way of that working for good. That's where the problems come in.
But I would tell you, I heard a sermon in this church. I'm going to skip the guy's name. He used to preach here back in the dark ages. I loved him until I grew up and listened to his sermon late. Afterwards, he preached on Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. You know what the next statement is? And? So it describes a Christian in two different ways. A lover of God and, of course, that thing called election, someone who's been called according to his purpose. Just describing a Christian from God's side and our side. Okay. He actually preached the sermon here, but nobody noticed it because Arminianism doesn't notice it's not in the Bible. And he said this, yes, all things are working together for good, but it's according to how much you love God. And the more you love God, the more things work together for good. Which, by the way, is the denial of the whole passage. Now, if you want to read about the passage, you got to skip about 300 years back to the Puritans. They call Romans 8:28-30 the golden chain. Read verse 30. It's attached. When it says called according to his purpose, it starts with eternity past and ends in the future. And by the way, it's an unbreakable golden chain. It's not talking about how much you love God. But can I say this to you? Most people don't even know they're not hearing the Bible. They're hearing people's opinions. I heard it here. Oh, it was a disappointment.
Power of the word enough.
Well,
love God enough.
But understand, Arminians always, their central word is almost always going to be enough. Mm-hmm. So you want to be blessed? You have to pray more. And what if you're not being blessed? You're not praying
enough.
Just catch the trick, folks. All right. In your notes, we're just going to start on the subject of origins. Sadly, I don't have time to discuss the boy is the father of the man. So we'll just start with broad options in your notes. Your broad options, friends, are not real deep. This is not a real deep thing. Even my buddy Isaac, this week, as we talk about the same things in Bible, my buddy Isaac even got it. He's been listening to his mother too much. I know what the problem is. When we look at broad options, and it makes no difference which side you put this on, one view is going to say all is God, and God is all. And, you know, that's one broad view of everything. Well, I actually put the wrong one first, of course. And it makes no, again, it makes no difference. All is nature. And nature is all. Now, friends, I'm just doing this to summarize because this is an introduction to worldviews. I'm not trying to prove anything right now. But one of the views is simply that nature is all there is. And there are people that fully believe this. By the way, there's the person that I love personally that believes this, which, in case you don't know, causes him great pain. And I pushed at that pain one time, but as Francis Schaeffer said, most people aren't smart enough to even get what their beliefs mean. This is a very painful thing when you think all is just nature. Very painful. In your notes, just as an introduction, naturalistic evolution is obvious in the West. Evolution is highly varied and, frankly, for most people, confusing. If you think there's just one thing called evolution, it's because we don't read much about it. The more you read about evolution, every evolutionist has their own theories. And I won't even talk about them. They used to be interesting more to me than it is today. So it's very varied and very confusing. Almost all of evolution is merely a way of kicking the can down the road. You say, why? What is the topic of today's Sunday school?
Origins.
Evolution does not discuss origins. Because it always assumes something was already there.
Right.
So it's kicking the can down the road further. So that's the reason you can talk about, well, this world began, as Walt Silverstone used to say, when he was in high school in the 50s, the world began in 1 billion years ago. Now it's 14 point, I think, 4 or something billion years, and his joke was, I've aged 13 billion years. And people don't even understand that, because we have to keep kicking that can further down the road. You say, I believe everything started with the Big Bang. Well, there's two things I have to say about that. Number one, have you ever seen a Big Bang? Does organization come out of an explosion?
No.
You know, a couple weeks ago, there was a house, and this happens, and of course, the media loves it. And thank God nobody was in the house, but a house, I guess, the gas was leaking and blew. And man, they were there to try to shut things off, and it poosh! By the way, when it blew up, another house didn't start.
Nope.
It was just a disaster. But that's not the real problem. Where did that stuff come from? You see, all of this just came into this little, just then, what's it? You're trying to answer origins, but you're not talking about where it began. Now, and when it comes to evolution, too, I think some of you know, some evolutionists believe that evolution didn't even start on Earth. They kick it further down the road. We don't have enough time. 14 billion years is not long enough. So really, it was started some other place, and they or it or something showed up here. Now, I'm not mad at you if you hold to some, you know, I'm just stating facts. Do you read these people? I do. Though I read less of that stuff than I used to. When I was younger, it was my world. I say on your notes, focusing on the evolution of many species, including man, but not the real origins of life and everything else. We'll talk about more this morning. Normally, people do talk, and certainly creation scientists talk about macroevolution, which is change from species to species. And by the way, this is assumed. When you're an evolutionist, it assumes something. DNA, boy, I don't want to talk about all this stuff. DNA has changed everybody's thinking. Used to be, we had this idea, and everybody knows I'm an artist. There used to be this thing, you know, everything started back here, and then we had this tree. Do you ever see that tree? The tree of evolution. And basically, it was based off of, I'll tell them your language, buddy, gross morphology. That's actually laboratory language. Visually looking at things and assuming, since that kind of looks like this, so guess what? You know, kind of comes this direction. There is this, you know, it kind of looks the same. Genetics has really messed us up. Do you know this?
Mm-hmm.
Because genetics finds out almost none of that stuff is true.
Right.
If we develop genetically or DNA wise, it branches off in many different directions. And this just, but we don't talk about that. There's a lot of things we don't talk about. You see this guy right over here? Everybody, look at him. Wave, please. Wave. I'm going to say something in a minute. You better be listening. And I'm going to say it about him. I'm guessing I'm the only weirdo in this room that knows much about this. And I'm a weirdo. In your notes, macroevolution is change from species to species. Microevolution, which a lot of creationists don't like the word, is change within species. Meaning, you know, do all ducks look the same? The answer is no, but they are ducks. By the way, are all dogs look the same? The answer is no, but through selective breeding, look at the amount of dogs we have now. But you know what's weird? If you allow dogs to return to nature, they all kind of look like a scowl. Yes. Or in America, we used to call them a cur dog. Just a mutt. Nasty, mangy, ugly. But through selective breeding and other processes, I mean, I saw Tom, what is that dog you guys have? She was here when Jenny and I came in here, and it was weird. We walked out of the office. I think, Jenny, wasn't it you and me? And Christy was here sometime this over the break. But I didn't see Christy. Out of there came an animal. Looked like a fluff ball. What is that thing?
It's a golden doodle. So it's a mix between a golden retriever and a poodle.
It was a beautiful dog. But I'm like, where'd that thing come from? That's selective breeding, folks. But if you know what cur dog, by the way, go to a third world country, 1 second, you know what a cur dog are, a scholar. They all look the same, nasty, mangy, duh. All right, I'm coming back to you, so hold on. He is worse than that. Evolution has, in my way of thinking, so many issues. At least in my way of thinking. First of all, something comes from nothing. Or if you prefer, nothing produces something. That's kind of one problem. The problem that intelligent people deal with, and it's a hard problem, is the next statement. The person or the individual cannot really be explained. The individual or the person cannot really be explained. Which then goes to the third concept. Friend, again, this is not an anti-evolution thing. We watched videos 4, 5, 6 years back and had people sleep through every video just like they sleep through life. And we actually had folks came into this church that watched the same series about 3 times in a row, didn't even know they were watching the same thing. I'm not really interested in teaching creation, to be honest with you. It's what I believe, but I find out it's a hobby. But I will say this, the big problem is, can we live with this view of humanity? Now, I'm going to say this a little bit later in another setting, but everyone look at me. Let me just ask a question, because I don't want anybody to feel their belief. Have any of you read books on genetics? What's his genetics? What's his DNA? Do you know? You know it. All right. If you're from Europe, there's a very high percentage, a very high possibility that I have genetics different than yours. It's called Neanderthal. Do you know this? See, there's the biggest problem with you. Let's go back to 1859. Frenchie was young at the time. He had been through the Revolutionary War, and it was not yet the Civil War. He had already fought with John Paul Jones in the Revolutionary War. All right. A guy wrote a book called The Origin of Species. Mm-hmm. And the subtitle of that book, I know Pam knows what it is.
Something in favored races.
The Survival of the Fittest and Favored Races. It was a book based on racism. Now, it postulated this, Chris. This is its postulation. That at the bottom, there is some group of people that are right next to the apes. Then up the chain a little bit is another group. Then up the chain is another group. And up the chain is another group. Now, before you all get into white racism and all, I'm just going to say it so you get over yourself. If you're from Japan, Japan was at the top of the heap. If you're from China, Chinese were at the top of the heap. And, of course, if you're white, as he was, white people were at the top of the heap.
So whoever's telling the story.
Who's ever telling the stories at the top of the heap? By the way, if you want to think that's true, do you realize how sorry, Pam. I have to use the word. Do you know how retarded that is? So have you ever met? So let's just say it. By the way, what do Chinese think of Filipinos in the Philippines? Mm-hmm. What do they call you? Monkeys.
No, they were the Spaniards, Pastor.
What was that?
The Spaniards called it
monkeys. Spanish did too.
Not the Chinese.
Well, I'll tell you ahead of time. They don't have a better opinion. So you got the monkeys. I don't know who the monkeys are. But in America, of course, and in it was blacks. Now, how you determine that, Lord only knows. Up here are the whites. They are the top of the peak. And they might put Asians here, Native Americans here. Well, I'm not a student. By the way, I'm going someplace with him. This was the old evolution. By the way, that book, Origin of Species, they got rid of that subtitle somewhere. It just disappeared. Because nobody wants to talk about racism being scientific. All right? Now, I got a question. Well, I'll just make a statement. This was a couple months back. There was a Sunday morning. we're just going to talk about Africans. And I just was laughing to myself in the pulpit. I didn't share it with you. I think I shared it with you. It's funny to me. I looked out there, and that morning, Linda Yu's father was here, the wife. And what's his name? Young Bafonzi's dad was here. Well, Young Bafonzi's father is a PhD in linguistics from Purdue. Linda Yu's father is a professor, was, of statistics and math at the University of Nebraska. I think she has two brothers that teach math there. And Linda's a real dummy. Nuclear engineer. I'm laughing thinking, the problem with this is, can I say this? It's stupid! But it makes sense to people who are racist. Now, the only difference is how you mix this up. Now we have more advanced evolution, but it has a bigger problem. Because today we're all into everybody's equal. By the way, everybody's not equal. Now it has nothing to do with races, but is everybody equal? Some people are better looking than others.
Yeah.
What? Men are not one of those better looking ones. But they have, we're, you know, people are different.
Amen.
We have a problem, friend, and it's the hard problem that evolution has. It's the biggest problem. We no longer postulate that people directly came from apes to, forgive me, blacks, they might have used a worse word, than to dark-skinned people. I don't know how they magically figured out that dark-skinned people were dumber. Well, by the way, how about the folks in our church who are from India? They're dumb too, right? I mean, this whole thing is just like, really? But we have a different problem today. I'm going to come to this guy right now. Some of you have been wondering, what am I going to say about this? Hey, you Filipinos, hey, you Filipinos better be careful. Because some of you might be in this category. You're 100% in this category. Our problem today is we believe in radical equality. Everybody is equal, which isn't true. Well, it's got, you have to define equality correctly. If we mean before God, before the law, opportunity, 100%, of course. But we're all the same. But we no longer posit we came directly from monkeys. We say there were different evolutionary chains. So the racist Farrakhan, you know, the black racist Muslim from Chicago, says to white people, you descend from the Neanderthal. You were people living in caves when my people were. So he's positing people are coming from different places, which is what genetics supposedly teaches. Anybody knows what his DNA is? Don't you know? Outlier. It's called Denisovian. You know this?
No.
I must have talked to Hart Harley about this. Yes. He has genetics that none of us, but maybe some Filipinos have. It's called Denisovian. Now we have another problem. Not that we're stacked like this, but maybe we come from different races and different places. So how do we know, look up here, that we're all exactly equal? How do we know that? Now, see, I find the whole thing hilarious. Because you say, why? Because I know it's really stupid. I think we all come from, are you ready? Take a breath. Adam and Eve. You say, what did Adam and Eve look like? I'm going to tell you. A man and a woman.
Right?
And you say, where's all this other stuff? Some of you aren't sure about that. I'm pretty sure it wasn't two women, and I'm probably pretty sure it wasn't two men, or we wouldn't be here. Oh, by the way, we have this is technical speak. This is really deep speak. Log jams, genetic log jams. They actually call it that, where things log jam. We have a couple different sources. One of them is Adam and Eve. The next one is Noah's sons and their
wives.
Not Noah, it's his sons and their wives. And by the way, from that, overspreads the earth. So are we different? I don't think evolution has anything to do with this. I think we're, shockingly, I think we're all, I believe there's one race. The human race. Yes. Monkeys, I like that. By the way, it's just who all's calling you a monkey. When I heard Louis Farrakhan say this about white people, he calls us blue-eyed devils, and now he's heard somebody say that we have Neanderthal blood, and if you get your genetics tested, which I have, they will tell you if you have that kind of DNA. Do you not know this? And you say, do you have a lot? Yes, I'm a Neanderthal. I like that. And so you didn't know this?
No.
No, but I will later. All right. Number two in your notes. Second view, and by the way, I put these on various sides. It's not important that you have it on a specific side because the side really makes no difference. I'm not trying to prove anything. Is all is God. Now, this one's probably more weird to us in the West, but I don't think it is. I don't think it's really that far removed. I say in your notes, this is most common in Hinduism and Buddhism, which is better said, if I could say it without being silly. And friends, when I say, it's better to say Hinduisms and Buddhisms. I'm being very specific. It's like this. There is Christianity, even if it's false, like Roman Catholicism, which teach some terribly false doctrines, doctrines that will keep a person from getting saved. But they're still broadly Christian. Mormonism is not a Christianity. You understand? It has nothing to do with biblical anything. Yep. Hinduism doesn't have some of the things that you expect. So you just have things that are all over the map. And Buddhism is the same. I mean, Buddhism goes all the way from there is no God at all to you worship Buddha as a God. It just has a just variety that you're like, yes, extreme. All right, so really, it's Hinduisms and Buddhisms. That's where you find it predominantly. All is God and God is all. Thoughts. And for all of you adults, you'll get this immediately. God is not personal. So when we say all is God, don't think of a person and cannot be known. So God is not personal and cannot be known. It's not that kind of thinking. So God is used more for a cipher. I don't know what other word we would use. X in an equation. Is it, God is not, when we think God in the West, even if you're not a Christian, you're still thinking personal, individual God. They use God in a different way. God is more of just a word. All right, that's very common in the East. Creation in most of the systems. And again, as I've read about Hinduism and Buddhism, you just go, creation, and all of these say the exact same thing. Creation is part of, or an extension of, part of, or an extension of, or a manifestation of God. Everyone look at me. Now, let's go back to our questions. Are you ready for questions? Mm-hmm. Origin and destiny. In some forms of Buddhism and some forms of Hinduism, this is the reason John Lennon's son said now he's part of God. Because you see evil? Mm-hmm. And of course there is no cross in this system. Your problem is you got separated from God. And the more separated, that's, you know, they have different ways of dealing with this. So the goal of their origins and their destiny is to get back to God. Now, I'm going to say this, and this is weird. So the goal of much Hinduism and Buddhism is for you. You know who the you is? You to disappear. Because if there's a you, you have problems. But if you aren't there, oh, wait, Christianity's like, oh, no. Christianity is from Genesis. Abraham was gathered unto his people. He was an individual. Look at me. They were still individuals. It's eternal existence with God in a body. Their whole thing is to get back and we become part of the one, the God, the whatever. This is very, very common. By the way, if you've ever talked to a Hindu, you will feel like you're just talking to a real strong blizzard. Snow in the, because you just can't. I'm not saying they can't get saved. I'm saying there's difficulties. I'm going to say this to you. If you do yoga, I have to say this. If you do yoga, I'm talking about, you know, stretching and stuff. Please do not ever speak about that to Satish or his wife. I learned what yoga is in Hinduism. Yoga means a yoke, and it's how you yoke yourself back to God. And all of this was forms of coming back to the one. He doesn't call Hinduism Hinduism. He calls it idols and idolatry. They, according to their text, there's 330 or so million gods. But don't think of God gods. That's not the point. All right. So creation, you understand, is just part of God, an extension of God, or some kind of a manifestation of God. Next, creation, and this is especially true in Buddhism, can be an illusion and not reality. Which is really hard to deal with people that think they're living in an illusion. And of course, the goal of life is to get back to, here it is, I'll write it properly, not like this. You almost have to write it in quotations. The idea is to get back to God. And when you get back to God, I say it in your notes. The goal of life is to get back to God. That's your destiny. And be one with God. Which means what? When you're one with God, what does that mean? There's no you anymore. Because all of your problems is there's a you. So how does Christianity see this? God created Adam and Eve in his own image as a person. And by the way, 10 million years from now, you'll still be a person. Now, a person will either exist in heaven or hell, with God or without God, but you're a person. In this view, you kind of, my father used to say this, not a philosopher, not an intellectual, and not educated, and I speak in an American way. Third grade, I wouldn't consider educated. Smart guy. His comment was this, and he learned this the hard way in Korea with the Chinese and the Korean communists. He said, life is cheap there. Dad never talked about Korea except two or three events, and he only talked to me about those. I know my brother never heard, my sister's never heard. Part of it's my personality. I ask questions. One of the times he said about Korea, he says, we killed so many people that we had to push them off the road with a bulldozer. You think that ever leaves your mind? But what if people aren't valuable? See, when I look at a person, I look at your precious two daughters and your son. They're important to me. You know why? Because they're important to God. And they, as people, will exist as individual people forever. They don't disappear. Now, I have just lied to you a little bit. Not lied, misled you. Because I have shown you all is God and all is nature. What did my buddy Isaac tell me? If you really listen to evolutionists, they start talking about nature in godlike terms. Mother Nature. These things don't really do this. They circle around and they start looking very similar. There is no real you in evolution or in Eastern religion. Or that's your problem. And I'll say this and be done. Native American religions, have you ever listened to them? Sounds exactly, they both fit. Now, they're going to talk about God, but the God is kind of the hill, the valley. Everything is sacred. By the way, this is a logical statement. If everything is sacred,
nothing is sacred.
Why? Because everything is God, including you. All right, that's an introduction. We'll pick up on the biblical stuff next week. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this time. Bless our time together in Christ's name.
Pastor, with the Eastern religion and our goal being to be with God, or be God.
To be part of God. Back to be part of God.